And our next talk will be a 10-minute lightning talk by Nikolai Lehmann. He spent over 20 years at DTAG in various capacities, and he currently works in the Architecture and Strategy Department. In this talk, Nikolai is going to present about DTAG's DNS platform and the challenges arising from carrier-scale DNS deployments.
Correct. So, thanks.
Go ahead.
So advancing the slides does not work. Ah, now it works. Okay. Yes, I'm going to talk a bit about our DNS platform. So first of all, with the exception of the people in the room here, usually 99.999% of people have no clue what DNS is. It's always in place, it's always in the background, and it's vital in order to operate the internet. And if it breaks, of course, people start complaining and they will immediately notice. So for us, it means if there's no DNS, there's also no service, and it's a mission-critical platform. Having said that, so we are running a large-scale DNS platform, which also guarantees privacy and reliability, and it's based on an open-source implementation, so we are using PowerDNS. I think one platform is not really the truth. Of course, we have at least 1.5 platforms which are user-facing, so one for fixed network, one for mobile network, but they're currently converging and they're running on the same software platform. In addition, we have also, for data center deployments, more internal DNS platforms, and they might be also not using PowerDNS, but something else, which, for instance, comes with the data center deployment and the software itself. Looking on the infrastructure, so we have a distributed infrastructure. It's based on IPv4 and IPv6. We prefer IPv6 as transport. We have 6 to 7 locations, depending on how you count. And the picture is a bit older, but this one shows, I think, about 4 million DNS requests per second. I guess we are now close to something between 5 and 6. So the number of DNS requests is still growing. If we look on DNS itself, so how many requests are hitting our platform, versus how many requests are basically not hitting our platform. The numbers are a bit older, but they haven't changed a lot. They depend also a bit on the location. We did it in two different locations measurements, and what we can see is that we have about 95% of the traffic are going towards our own DNS resolvers in the fixed network. If you compare that with the 99% have no clue what DNS is, if you look about the remaining traffic, so the other large player out of the 5%, 80 to 85% are going towards Google, and the rest is distributed more or less equally about very small towards very small other DNS providers. That also hasn't changed a lot with all the discussions around encrypted DNS. What we saw, some kind of shift within this 5% from unencrypted to encrypted DNS, but there was no change in terms of how many requests are going towards our own platform. Reasons for that, some people are reconfiguring their DNS platform, so we have their DNS resolvers in their home routers or end devices, so we have no limitations in terms of blocking that. So you can, of course, set your own DNS resolver in either Speedport or Fritzbox or whatever you are using. And there are certain IoT devices which use Google as a default for whatever reason. So there's basically Google DNS pre-configured 8888, and it's never been, let's say, rewritten or reconfigured because it's a hard setting inside IoT devices. For the typical fixed deployment, so that is done with our BNG. So the customer or the user establishes a session to our BNG. So we learned about a lot of stuff about BNGs, like I think 2 or 3 talks ago. And what we do is we distribute the resolver addresses towards the router. So we usually assign 4 addresses, 2 IPv4 addresses and 2 IPv6 addresses. And those are also referring to different locations inside Germany. So I think in Berlin, you usually get Berlin as a resolver location. And in addition, you will also get, I think it's Leipzig. And also the locations itself are redundant on its own. So there is redundancy inside the location. So for instance, if one location completely fails, the other one can take over. But also if, for instance, one or two resolvers inside the location behind the load balancers are breaking down or something like that, others will take over. And inside the home network, we are distributing the private or the address of the home gateway as an DNS resolver address to all the clients. So why different servers inside a mobile and fixed network? There are different requirements. So we have, for instance, for the mobile network, things like NAT64 in place or certain landing pages for specific use cases. As said, for the fixed net, we are not doing any cards. We are assigning different IP addresses because we have more control about DNS itself, IPv6 as a preferred transport, and end users are not forced to use our own DNS, but still 95% of the users are doing it. What we also did, which is here called as kind of DNS wars, there was a very long discussions, I think like four or five years ago, also within ITF when DOH, so DNS over HTTPS came up, about who is controlling DNS and who is deciding which kind of DNS server is being used. From my point of view, the discussion was not around, also not from DT's perspective, about whether encryption is good or bad. It was more about what happens if we lose control about our DNS servers. And for instance, certain services are not going to work anymore. If something breaks or DNS is giving wrong responses or things like that, we are not able to help the users. We can't debug it because if it's not hitting our own DNS platform and it's encrypted anyway, so no chance for us. So what we basically did, we started a large activity, what do we do with all the encrypted DNS, not only in Germany, but also with all of our NATCOs. And the outcome was that almost every platform now is capable of doing DOT and DOH. So you can use encrypted DNS with our own resolver platform if you want. You have to configure it manually, but for instance, if you own a Fritzbox or if you want to enable it in, let's say, Firefox, you can do it. And also the information is basically freely available. We haven't seen much uptake. I mean, we did not do any big advertisements on that, but at least in like Telekom Hilft and so on, there is information how you can configure encrypted DNS. What we also see is, so what is the benefit of using encryption between, let's say, the home gateway and our resolver platform? So both things are more or less in our own network, and if there is someone in between able to basically look into the traffic, DNS is not the problem. It's the fact there is someone sitting in the middle and this guy can also look in all other traffic. So it doesn't give you much in terms of doing the encryption. So the encryption brings more if it's end-to-end. So if, for instance, the end device behind the CPE is doing encryption, especially in environments where you have open hotspots and things like that. Because in this case, of course, someone can look into the traffic. And that brings me to two challenges we are currently seeing. One is with the discovery. So ITF has standardized discovery for DNS, but mainly focusing on environments where the clients are using a public IP address of a DNS resolver, which is not the use case which is dominant in Europe, where most of the clients in home environments are using a local resolver, which is the CPE. So that is, in the standards itself, not really addressed. There is currently some work going on. But it makes it difficult for us to basically push that kind of encryption towards the end devices in home networks or on hotspots, because it would require changes on the CPEs. And there's also an impact, because you have to bypass the CPE, then you lose all the caching functionality of the CPE for DNS and things like that. So it's not straightforward in simply saying, OK, let's propagate the public addresses of our DNS servers into every single end device. per the mobile networks is a bit different because the mobile device is usually directly connected to the network. There is nothing in between which does not, for instance. Another thing we looked into is the impact of encrypted client hello. So it encrypts a certain part of HTTPS or TLS handshakes. And it makes only sense if you also encrypt DNS, because otherwise there is the risk, or if you, for instance, here in that example, want to block www.example.com, the first thing you will see before a TLS session is established is a DNS request for that specific name. And if you don't encrypt that, it can be easily blocked inside a network if someone is looking into that. And that was my last slide, in fact. Questions?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Nikolai. Do we have one quick question?
Thank you, Carsten Schiefner, DNS interested individual. Thanks for that presentation. Nikolai, very interesting. I just wonder, obviously this is about resolution. I just wonder, is the same platform also used for DNS service? I mean, Deutsche Telekom providing DNS service for the customers running a domain, for example, or is that service, that DNS platform, completely independent? Thank you.
It's, I mean, we have authoritative servers, of course, in place where all this information is stored. So it's part of the platform, I would say, but it's not running on the same set of servers.
Okay, thank you.
But it's, yeah.
It's also a postfix.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, thank you very much, Nikolai.
Thank you.